This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. We recently learned that the city of Grayling's municipal water supply has trace amounts of a perfluorinated chemical, or a PFC. Private wells in the areas of Grayling, Oscoda, Alpena, they're all suspected of being contaminated by a PFC of one sort or another. To help us better understand what this family of chemicals is, we asked David Andrews to join us. He's a senior scientist with the Environmental Working Group. Let's start with, where do these chemicals come from and what products are they found?
These chemicals, PFCs, and the most common ones known as PFOA or PFOS, these are 100% man-made chemicals. They were originally produced by 3M and then later by DuPont. They're also, we often refer to them as the Teflon chemicals. They were also commonly used in Scotchgard. After those initial uses, they found a myriad of uses across pretty much our whole consumer product category and industrial product category. And importantly, they turned out to be extremely useful in putting out oil fires or jet fuel fires. And so much of the contamination across the country actually comes from air forces or airfields, airports, and especially the training facilities associated with those, where they were used for firefighting training and often leached into the groundwater or into the ground and later contaminated drinking water.
And we believe that's the case in a couple of places in Michigan. I want to ask you about how they're used, or are they used, as a flame retardant. I understand they might be in our carpet, our furniture, things like that. Is it widely used as a flame retardant?
Not typically as a flame retardant, but it actually really provides the grease and oil repellency as well as water repellencies. So it is extremely common in upholstery, in carpets, and even some of your outerwear clothing and coats, the ones that are sold for extreme expeditions, and they advertise the waterproof stain repellency. And so clothing, carpets, upholstery, and then it's also used in nonstick cookware, and oftentimes in tools. Like I said, it's really used widespread in products all around your house, pretty much everywhere. And what's extremely concerning about these chemicals is that what makes them useful is they're built on this foundation of a carbon-fluorine bond. And this is one of the strongest chemical bonds that you can make. But it also means that after they're produced and they're released into the environment or they end up in the trash, they don't break down for decades or generations even. And so much of the contamination that's currently out there may have actually been released into the environment decades ago, and it could be around for generations to come.
What kind of health issues might be linked to PFCs?
So what we're concerned about at extremely low concentrations is impact on immunotoxicity and the effectiveness of vaccines, actually. Some recent work showing that potential for reduced effectiveness of vaccines at levels that the U.S. is already exposed to. There's pretty much universal contamination from the first generation of these chemicals that were released over the last 4 or 5 decades. Nearly everyone has some in their body and in their blood.
Yeah, I was going to say, I read in a report that you wrote, it indicates these chemicals are in the blood of every American and can be passed from mother to child. So how long does it take for these chemicals to cycle out of our bodies?
For most of these chemicals, the ones that are being detected in drinking water, it takes about 4 years for half of it to pass through our body. So that means over 8 years, assuming you're not exposed to any additional amount, you'll still have a quarter of the amount you originally had 8 years ago. So it's effectively in your body for a lifetime. And really these concerns are that they're so potent that they can have effects down to a single part per trillion. You need to get below that to really get away from potential health concerns. And as I mentioned, it was the effectiveness of vaccines, but there's also concerns that it's impacting our endocrine system, our reproduction and development. And so it's really, really nefarious chemicals.
You mentioned the small parts per trillion. I understand there are not actual EPA restrictions, but only advisories. That kind of uncertainty does a couple of things. Number one, it makes us all wonder how worried we should be. And number two, it gives the U.S. military an out. They don't have to clean it up because there's no real restriction. What are we supposed to do?
Right. Absolutely right. There is no legal limit in drinking water. There's no standards for even the most common chemicals in this family. There is a health advisory level of 70 parts per trillion. And most places across the country seem to be taking action to clean up or at least switch water supplies when they are above that standard, which is encouraging. At the same time, we think that standard is way too high, and it should be a level of 70 lower. These are really chemicals that shouldn't be in your drinking water at all based on what we know about the science. And for most places that have this contamination, it's really identifying the source of the contamination and doing what's possible to either clean up the source of the contamination or switch sources of the drinking water, or ideally a combination of both of those to ensure that it's not occurring in the finished water. Oftentimes, a reduction of the levels can be accomplished by adding water filtration steps, but that can be quite expensive. And so ultimately, those costs should be passed on to the manufacturers of these chemicals.
The City of Grayling water officials voluntarily revealed these trace amounts of PFCs in the water supply well below that 70 parts per trillion you were talking about. They didn't have to do that, and that makes me wonder, could there be PFCs in my water supply, but my water department just isn't telling me?
It's possible. So there was required testing done in 2014 and 2015 for all utilities serving over 10,000 people. And this is a program that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has to test for unregulated contaminants. Most utilities only had to test two or four times. And as I said, this was only required of utilities serving over 10,000 people. So it's quite possible if your utility is smaller than that, or you're in a smaller city or smaller location, or you're on private well water, there could be contamination that you don't know about. The biggest concern would be locations near airports, or especially firefighter training sites, and locations near manufacturing facilities or plants that produce this chemical or either use this chemical in coatings or some other process.
Back to PFCs in our house, are these chemicals still being used in these products like nonstick pans, furniture, carpets, things like that?
So the most concerning chemicals, the ones that we often hear about in drinking water, PFOA and PFOS, those were essentially voluntarily phased out of production and use in the United States, voluntarily with significant EPA pressure. But they've been replaced by a new generation of chemicals that are very similar, slightly better in some regards, potentially, but on the whole, we don't think they're really a better replacement. They seem to be less bioaccumulative. That means they don't build up to as high of levels in mammals and in people, but they're equally persistent. They don't break down in the environment. And recent toxicity studies show that they may actually cause very similar health impacts in people. And so these chemicals are still being used. The chemistry has been slightly modified, but like the previous generation, PFOA, PFOS, there are no health advisory levels. There are no drinking water standards for the replacements either.
Does that mean we should probably be, at least with the old nonstick pans or some of our older furniture or older carpet, throw it out? I mean, that could get expensive really quickly, but would it really help us, or are we unable to avoid these chemicals?
In many ways, you're unable to avoid these chemicals, especially in older products. Much of our exposure may come through contaminated drinking water, contaminated food. As we said, there's essentially global contamination from these chemicals. It's really difficult to impossible to avoid exposure completely. And as I said, the new replacements may not be any better. So I don't think there's a clear indication that you should throw away all your furniture and your clothing and seek out replacements. But it does really highlight a concern we have about the inadequacy of federal regulators to police the market in terms of ensuring safe chemistry is used.
Final question, if we are ingesting it or being exposed to this family of chemicals, for some exposures, you can change your diet or do other things. Is there any change in lifestyle or diet we can make that will reduce the impact of these chemicals might have on our bodies?
The most important step is ensuring clean drinking water, especially for places with known pollution, is taking immediate steps to ensure that those chemicals are no longer found in the drinking water at concentrations, we think, down below a part per trillion to be safe.
And in the meantime, you'll have to get bottled water, I suppose. That's about the only choice you have, right?
Right, or use a filtration device, a water filter. Under sink filter would be the most effective for removing these contaminants, and that is possible at relatively low cost for most consumers.
That is David Andrews. He's a senior scientist with the Environmental Working Group talking about PFCs, a body of chemicals that are popping up everywhere, and apparently we've all been exposed to already. Thanks very much for explaining this to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.